Good afternoon, everybody. For the last time, Oh, no. No. It'll be a great relief for you not to do statistics, I'm sure. Okay. Now, but today is quite a light relief, I think, today. So it's sort of puzzles and competitions and quizzes and things like that. So I got a number of different things. So let's start, okay, with the first little competition. Now let's see this. So this is a hang on, what's happened here? New view, full screen. Where's full screen? Where's full screen? Oh, I just do F5. That should work, shouldn't it? Yeah, okay. Right, here's the first test. I've got three cards. This is Bayes from yesterday. Another example. I've got three cards. Nothing up my sleeve. All very honest. One with two red sides. Ba-ba. One with two black sides. Ba-ba. And one with a red side and a black side. Ooh, I know. It's not that good. I just stuck them together. Right, okay. I pick a card at random. So I'm not going to see which card. And I flip it and I show you a side. It's black. What's the probability the other side is black? So okay, I heard some different things there. We've got options. We've got, a half. Who thinks it's a half? Yeah, people did. Yeah, some thought it's a half. Any other ideas? One fourth? One third? Anything else? Every suggestion. Two fifths. That's not bad. Getting two fifths. We got every idea. So let's do that again. I'm going to pick a card at random. It's red. What's the probability the other side is red? Okay. It's not. It's the same as the other one. Yeah. It's not obvious, I don't think. Do people think? I mean, a lot of people probably said. I think people said a half was the first obvious thing. Okay. Now, but. Shall I tell you the right answer? How shall I do this? Because so how would you approach this problem from a Bayesian perspective? The answer is not a half. It's not a half. And we could do it. We could show you, let's do it. Let's see. Let's see how many times it's the same and how many times it's different. That's a little competition. So I will I do this and it's red, and let's look at the other side, and that's red. So we got one, it's the same. And I'll do it again. And it's black, and the other side is black. Magic. It's the same. I do it again. It's black, and the other side is red. Oh, one of them. Different. I do it again. Red, and the other side is red. There's more coming out the same than different. Black, and the other side is red. Well, not. Let's see. So, red, and the other side is red. It turns out, now why can you see there's more coming out the same than different? It's more likely to be the same than different. Can anyone explain why? This is quite difficult to explain, I think. I mean, if you... Do you get a sort of intuition that it's more likely to be the same than different? Yeah, it's actually twice as likely to be the same as different. It's two-thirds against one-third that it'll be the same color. Now, is anyone willing to try to explain why it should be two-thirds? I think it's difficult. This is a Bayes problem, but it's difficult to do. Yeah, I don't blame you. I think, okay, let me think of how I might do it. I always start with the probability tree. Right. Let's call these cards A, B, and C. A, B, and C. And A is two red. We call that red, red. And B is black, black. And C is red, black. And I'm picking the card at random. So there's a one-third chance of each one. So that's the first thing I do, is pick a card. And then I pick a side to show you at random. So then it's a bit like going, the next stage is which side to show. And there's a half chance that that's a red. So that's bound to be a red. And that's bound to be a black. And this has got a half chance of being red and a half chance of being black. Now, anyone see where this is going? How would you do the next bit? Now I say, I've shown you it. Now we look at it, and I pick a card, and I look at it, and it's black. That means that it's one of these. It's one of those black sides. And it's equally likely to be that one, or that one. But if it's that one, the other side will be black. And if it's that one, the other side will be black. And it's only if it's that one that the other side will be red. So it's a two-thirds chance the other side will be black. Anyone, do people believe it? No, Corinne doesn't believe it. I know. It's quite tricky. It's quite tricky. Do you get a feeling? So if another way to think of it is that if you look at all the sides, there's three black and three red sides. And so there's a 50-50 chance of it being a black side or a red side. So that's the black side. But more of those blacks, two of those black sides have got a black on the other side and only one hasn't. Another way to think of it. This is another way to think of it, is that the only way this will be different is if I've picked that card. And there's only a 1 in 3 chance of me picking that card. So there must be only a 1/3 chance of them being different. Does that sound more convincing? No. Yeah? More convincing. Yeah, I think that's quite... I'll try you later on another one. That will be a similar one. See if you can work it out. Okay, right. So that's the first one. I'm going to try to baffle you with Bayes' theorem. Let's do another one, another little quiz. Have people got a coin on them? I haven't got any coins with me. Have people got a coin on them? Okay, have you got one coin between two of you? Can you find a coin? I should have brought a whole lot of coins. Anyone got a coin? No, I should have brought some coins. I've got a coin. You could lend anyone lend a coin. What I want is one coin between two people. Have you got? Oh, I got some coins here. You want a coin? One coin between two. Yeah, you got a coin? One coin between two. Have you got a coin? Who needs a coin? Have you got one? You want one? Okay. Coin? You need a coin. Have you got a coin? Emil, you've got a coin? Anyway, okay. Agree which side is a head or a tail. Okay, here's the question. It's a very simple game. You take it in turns to flip a coin. The one who flips the first head, and you have to agree what a head is, maybe the one with the animal on it or something like that, wins. Now, what's the chance that the person who flips first wins the game? Okay. So try it a few times and then try to work out what the answer is. So just try, just between two people, just take it in turns and see how often the person who flips first wins. See, the game is the first person to flip ahead. Do you think the person who flips first, do they have the advantage? No. Yes, you do. Yeah. Okay. How often do you think the person who flips first wins? Shush, right. Okay. How the person who flips first, they've got a bigger chance of winning, do they? No, they should do. Yeah, because they can win on the first go, and the other one can't. Okay, so what do you think the chance is of the first person winning? The first person has the... No, half, it should be... They got a half chance of winning on the first flip, so it must be greater than that. What do you think it is? And can you can you think of how you would solve that to work out what the probability is? It is greater than half. The first person has an advantage. How do you think you would solve that? Have a little think. Hey, the number, I know how I would do it. I'm sure there's lots of other ways to do it. How do you think you would solve? Any guesses, first of all? What's the intuition? What do you feel? It's greater than a half. What could it be? Yeah, three quarters is what, that's one that quite a lot of people say. What about another one? What else, another feeling it might be? Three quarters does seem, yeah, that's got a kind of feel to it. What about another, anything, any other intuitions? I mean, if I counted, you know, we could keep score of how many times, but we won't, we haven't got time to do that. Two-thirds, yeah. Two-thirds is the other one, that's usually the two suggestions. Okay, have you any idea how you would try to work out? One of these is right, one of these is right. Which one is right? Say? No, one of these is right. No, don't just take the average. Just guess. Yeah. No, we're supposed to be mathematicians, we're supposed to work it out. But one of those is right. Sorry? Two-thirds. Well, who votes for this one? Yeah, okay. Who votes for this one? Nobody voted, okay. So, now, okay, that's like the other one. I always think it's useful to draw a probability tree. So start off by saying, okay, the first flip, if it's heads, what happens if it's heads? The first, but let's call them A and B. So A starts. So A wins straight away. If it's tails, then B flips. So this is A flips. And if that's heads, what happens? B wins, yeah. In other words, if it's tails, and then A flips. And we've got, if it's heads, A wins. And tails, B wins. No, tails, we carry on. So, I think this is this right? This is how Casey did it. Is it? I wouldn't do it this way. So you could think of it the way that the probability of A winning equals the probability of winning on the first go, which is a half, plus what's the next probability on the third go, and what's the probability of that happening? We got half, half, half. 1/8, yeah. 1/8. Which is sort of, it's a half plus, so 1/2 to the 1 plus 1/2 cubed plus 1/2 to the 5th, yeah, plus 1/2 to the 7th. And so, I think you could do it. And does anyone know what the sum of that is? I'm not very good at it. I wouldn't do it this way, but you know, I'm not very good at infinite series. Is this an infinite series that people know? Oh, I know what you could do. How would you solve this? How would you solve that? If you call that P. Two, it can't be two. No, it's got to be less than one. It can't be one. Because that would mean he's bound to win. Three over four, you think? No, I don't. It should be. It should come to this. 2/3. How do you know this is 2/3? Does anybody? Sorry? How do you solve it? So do you want to do it? Do you want to try and have a go? Do you want to have a go? How do you solve that?
Leave that GP with R equals
1 over 4. Geometric progression with R equals 1 over 4.
These are geometric progression, geometric series, whose ratio is 1 over 4. And therefore, summation to infinity given by A, where A is the first term, divided by 1 minus R.
Four over three. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Hooray! Round of applause. Yeah. Cool. No, excellent. Right. So you do it as a geometric series, and you get 2/3. Very nice. Shall I show another way to do it, which I quite like? This is a sneaky way to do it. Because if you don't like infinite series, is that okay for people? Is that all right? Are people convinced it's 2/3? Yeah, we agree it's 2/3 chance. Another way to do it is to say, let's to be P. Now, this is the probability of P winning. Now, there's two ways P can win. There's a half chance of him winning immediately, plus. Now, and a half chance of the probability of him winning down here. Of the probability of A winning when B flips. Probably A winning when not flipping first. Because now this is we want the probability of A winning when B is flipping first. But this, the probability of A winning when not flipping first, is just 1 minus P. So we've got an algebraic equation that P is 1/2 plus 1/2, 1 minus P. Now, you see that? It's a bit sneaky. It's a bit like an induction. And it's realizing that this is just like, you know, that, just like before, but B instead of A. In that there's no memory to the system. When that happens, it's just like a new game with B starting. So the probability of B winning at that point is P. So the probability of A winning at that point is 1 minus P. So we're doing it sort of algebraically. And then when we solve this, we get 2P equals 1 plus 1 minus P, and P equals 2/3. So what do people think? Do people find that convincing, or do they prefer an infinite series? Which do you like first? This one, the algebraic one. Yeah, I think it's quite cool. You've got to realize that, and you only need to draw that. You just realize that if there's a tail, it's as if we're back to the beginning again, but now it's shifted to the other person. Sneaky? If you like that, I'll give you a more horrible one later on. Right, next. Next, a bit of light entertainment. Are there any questions on that? Anybody? Okay, that's one I do for classes at school, school classes. Let's do, light entertainment. I want to show you a video. That's it, yeah. So let's just see, I'm afraid you're going to see me, Professor Risk, in the video. Okay, so
Cambridge Ideas, transforming tomorrow.
Oh, should we turn the lights down a bit? How do you...
Every morning when I wake up, I don't know if I'm going to sleep for the day.
Oh.
I must be really cautious. That is another part of the
plan. So I'll wind that back a bit. Okay, this is me getting up.
When I wake up.
Okay.
Every morning when I wake up, I don't know if I'm going to survive the day. I might get run over by a bus. I might have a heart attack. And part of me wants to be really cautious. But there's another part of me that actually would like to take risks. My name's David Spiegelhalter. I'm a professor of the public understanding of risk. It's a strange job title, but it means I look at the uncertainties we all face in our lives. I sometimes daydream about doing dangerous things, but as professor of risk, I really need to think carefully about what the consequences might be. Part of me likes a really big fryer for breakfast. But the cautious part of me would sit down to a really nice, sort of healthy bowl of porridge. I really feel like having a lot of bacon, but the cautious bit of me says that it's not going to do my weight or my heart much good. And also, I know from recent work that it's going to increase my risk of bowel cancer if I eat a bacon sandwich every day. Well, after I've had breakfast, I've got to get to work. And the risky side of me would get on his bike and pedal off at great speed, no helmet, weaving through the traffic. But really, you know, the cautious bit of me says, oh, no, hang on. Cycling looks safe and it might be healthy. But really, if I look at the statistics, it's probably safer to drive because I can drive 200 miles on average to have a 1 in a million chance of being killed. There's a name for a 1 in a million chance of dying. We call it a micromort. It's a funny name, but useful for comparing, for example, different ways of traveling. Because on a bike, I only get 20 miles on a micromort. That's 1/10 the distance in a car. On average, you only get about 6 miles per micromort on a motorbike. Really high risk way of traveling. But even if I went out and started taking drugs, if I took ecstasy, it's about 1 micromort for a ecstasy session. Well, the risky part of me would quite like to, you know, win a few million quid, so I could go and buy a lottery ticket. But then the cautious bit of me says, oh no, look, that £1, and all you guys are 1 in 14 million chance of winning the jackpot. That's just as big as the chance of me getting killed cycling to go and buy the lottery ticket. Well, there are risks associated with the workplace. If you've got a low-paid job, and in particular if it's a job that's stressful, and if you're not in control of your working environment, then there's been shown to be increased risks to your health.
We do need that report very soon indeed.
Particularly heart disease. I've got a nice, well-paid professor's job in Cambridge, and I can control how I work, so I'm in a fairly low-risk situation. When I'm at work, I study survival, how long people are going to live, and I can see the statistics. And I know that for 55-year-old men like me, out of 100 of those, 9 are going to die before they're 65. And it's very worrying. When I start looking at these decisions that I have to take every day, I find that sometimes the cautious side wins and sometimes the risk-taking side wins. When I look carefully at the risks of eating a big bacon sandwich every day, then I can see that it's going to increase the chances of me getting bowel cancer. Out of 100 ways in which things might turn out in the future, in about 5 of them, I'm going to have bowel cancer. And that would go up to 6 if I were to eat a big bacon sandwich every day. I think that that harm is not large enough to stop me eating bacon. I'm not going to give it up. Now, the cautious me would choose to drive to work. But in fact, the cycle for me is such a pleasure that I choose to cycle, I choose to take that extra risk. For me, it's a matter of getting some balance in my life between caution and a certain amount of risk taking. So I like to have a drink, and I really like to try to have fun. One of the things I do is play in a samba band, a particular risk to my life in that I don't know what anyone's going to think of me doing. Being English, of course, I'm more worried about being embarrassed than dying. I'm a professor of risk, and so it's my job to think about these things. And I've come to the conclusion that one of the biggest risks is being too cautious. I always think of myself as a professor of risk encouragement.
Right. Okay. That was a. Thank you. Yeah. That was a film made for Cambridge University, where they were advertising their, you know, that their professors were slightly human, I think. So that was my home and where I work and how I cycle to work and all things like that. Right. Okay. Next. Next bit of entertainment. What have I got next on the list? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, this is like the three coins. I don't know if you've seen this before, this trick, where I cover things up and you have to guess where they are. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to hide something underneath one of these cups. I got my keys. I'm not going to show you which one it is. It's underneath one of these. Hang on, I've got to cover this up. So this is not very professional. You're not allowed to look. So I'm going to... I'm going to put this under one of the cups, okay, and then I'm going to move them around so you can't see which of these the keys are underneath. Yeah. Right, now, you can see, no, that's trouble, they're noisy, aren't they? I've forgotten now. No. They're noisy. Okay, right. Okay, I'll do it quietly. Right. Okay. Now. Okay. Now. That's quietly. Now, what I have to do now is somebody now. Who am I going to choose to guess who's going to be where they're going to be? So someone's. What you've got to do is say that's the left, that's the centre, and that's the right. Okay. So shall I ask somebody to guess? Where to point to just say left, set. I mustn't move them, mustn't I? I should have used something quieter. That is a great mistake.
What?
I'll use chalk. Yeah, I'll use chalk. That'd be quieter. Okay, chalk, chalk. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's quieter. That's quieter. Right, okay. Right. Right, okay. Now. Now, who's going to guess? Malala, come on. Say left, centre, or right. Centre. Okay, I'm not going to tell you whether that's right or not. What I'm going to do is to just say that's not it. Now, do you want to change? You want to say it? You still say it's the centre. So your strategy is to stick. Okay, and you are. Right, hey, you win a prize, right? Okay, let's try that again and see what somebody else wants to do. So we're going to move them around again. And we're going to move them around again and not... Actually, I've forgotten. hang on. Right, okay. And we're going to move them around. Okay, now. Let's have another go. Let's see what we're doing. Okay. Okay, Ibrahim. Left, right, or centre? Left. Okay. Now, you said that one. I'm going to show that that hasn't got it. It wasn't under the centre. Do you want to change?
Yeah, right.
You want to change? Yes, you got it right. Well done. Okay. Now, we got two different strategies then. Ibrahim changed and Malala didn't change. Who did the right thing? Should you stick or should you change? So who thinks you should stick? Yeah, okay. And who thinks you should change? Yeah, about 50-50. Yeah, okay, that's interesting. This is a very old problem, a really classic problem. It's often called, if you Google it, the Monty Hall problem. It's called the Monty Hall. Have you seen this before, Ibrahim? Or did you? No? Okay. Monty Hall. And people argue a lot about this and say, well, surely, you know, if I go... Oh, there's none of them. None of them. So if I move this around like that, and I know it's underneath there, and you... and someone points at it, there's going to be one of them, which at least one that hasn't got it. So I do that. Is that providing any information or not? No, people will say no. Well, okay. This is tricky. Is it a half? Or the point is that what's the probability of winning if you change... equals, and the probability of winning if you stick. Now what do you think these are? Equal? Do some people think it's equal? Yeah, okay, so one thing is to say 50-50, in which case it makes no difference really. Okay. Are there any other suggestions? Because in fact, who thinks it would be? I know some people did think it was better to change. Yeah, why? Anybody explain why it might be better to change? Yeah, why? Why have you got a bigger chance of winning if you change? You're right. You do have a bigger chance. This isn't. It's not 50-50. Yeah. Why do you change? Selecting from two rather than three. Yeah, I think that intuition is there. It's actually very similar to the cards. Very similar, and it's similarly difficult to intuition. Because the answer is actually, the probability of winning if you change is two-thirds. You're twice as likely to win if you change than if you stick. Now, do people think that's intuitive? Find that intuitive? No, it's quite difficult, isn't it? It's a really simple problem, but people have real trouble. You should always change. You should always change. You're more twice as likely to win if you change. And there's lots of ways you can try to explain that. The only way, there's two ways, two things. Now let's pretend there are 100 cups. 100. And one of them was the winner. One of them's got to win, you don't know. And I say to you, point at one of these, and you point at that one. And I then take away all of them, except the one you pointed at, and the one with the actual cup. Now would you change or not? Yeah, people would rather than choose, you'd change. You'd think, yeah, that, you know, there's one, only one left, all the rest haven't got it. It's almost certain to be that one, rather than that one. And that intuition works even with just three cups. You should still change. And the only way I can think of this, the easiest way to think of it, is that if you don't change, the only way you win is if you picked the cup. Is if you picked it immediately. And that's only got probability a third, that you pick the right one straight away. So if you don't change, that's the only way you're going to win. So that it must be better that the remainder of the probability must now be on the other one. If you're interested, just Google this. You'll find endless discussions and debates and things. It's a really tricky idea. And you can do the whole maths of this using Bayes' theorem. I've done it sort of quite intuitively. You can do all this using Bayes' theorem, but I won't do that. And I won't even set it as an assignment. If you have a strategy, you've decided in this game, I'm always going to switch, I'm always going to change, then you will lose if you point at that one. Because if you point at the right one, I will take one of these, you'll switch, and you won't win. But in every other circumstance, if you point at one of the empty ones, I will then take away the other empty one, you switch, and you find it. So if you always switch, you've only lost, you do lose if you point at that one straight away. So, it's funny, this is the only way I can understand it. But there are many other ways to do it, yeah. It's really difficult, it's not 50-50, yeah. Have you convinced yourself? Yeah, you don't believe it. No, you're quite right. It's very reasonable not to believe it. It's not magic. It really is not magic. Switch or not, yeah. And you should switch. Anyway. Okay, let's have another quiz. Do you need a piece of paper with this? I want to do a thing like yesterday. Now, yesterday, I got you to estimate quantities, and some of you did not do very well. Some of you did very badly. And your problem with... So now I'm going to go back and try to train you not to be overconfident. You got to admit you don't know. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you a set of questions. And they're questions. They're not about estimating the size of things. It's either A or B is the answer. And you've got to say whether you think A or B is the right answer. No gossip, don't say anything. And write down which one you think is your best guess. But then say how confident you are with your answer. So if you're absolutely certain, say 10 out of 10. If you haven't got a clue, say 5 out of 10. And if you're sort of thinking, yeah, I think I'm right, but I'm not sure, say 7 or 8 or 9. So that's a measure of how confident you are. And then I'm going to say whether if you're right or not. Now, if you said 10 out of 10 and you're right, you get 25 points. Cool. If you said I'm 10 out of 10 certain and you're wrong, you lose 75. This is a really vicious scoring rule. It's really nasty. It's like a teacher that if you do very well says, oh, fine. And if you do badly, it's really critical. It really shouts at you, shouts at you. This is the sort of shouting at you if you don't do well. If you're very cautious and say, I don't know, you just say where you are. But it's an asymmetric rule. If you say 8 and you're right, you get 21. If you're wrong, you lose 39. Yeah. Okay, so the first thing is, little competition, what's the formula behind this? Have a look at those numbers. So see if you can work out the formula. But while you're doing that, there's the scoring up there. Okay, let's have a go. The first question, have you got a sheet of paper? So you write down, right, which is larger in square kilometers? Now don't, if you know, don't say, which is larger, Nigeria or Egypt, in terms of its surface area? Nigeria or Egypt? Now, say A or B, and then say how confident you are in your answer. These are difficult questions. I don't expect people to know the answers. I hope they don't. But they might have an idea. So the idea is to get you to say how certain you are. Okay? So you can say A and B, you say your best guess and how confident you are. All right, have you done that? Are you ready for the answer? And the answer is? It's Egypt. Just. It's so funny because Ibrahim told me yesterday, he said, oh, Egypt's 1 million square kilometers. He said, yeah. I'd already done the question. But it's slightly bigger than Nigeria, which they're very close. Right. So now you score yourself. If you said 10 out of 10 Nigeria, you've got off to a very bad start. This is not good. If you say you've lost 75 to start with. Okay, so now you score yourself whether you're right or wrong. You either gain or you lose points or stay the same. If you want to be really careful, don't know, you get zero. Right, do you get it? Okay, ready for the next question. Who is older, Nelson Mandela or Robert Mugabe? Shh, don't say. You may know, you may not know. Who is older, Nelson Mandela or Robert Mugabe? A or B? Okay. And then how confident are you in the answer? Right. Okay. Shh. Right. Are you ready? Have you written it? You said how confident you are?
Yeah.
And the answer is?
Mandela.
Mandela. Yeah. 94 against 88. Yeah. 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 Okay. Are you ready for the next one? You could have already been minus 150, but if you don't really... Yeah, so that's how bad you could be. Right. All right, you ready for the next one? Which is closer to Cape Town by car on Google Maps? Johannesburg or Durban? Which is the closest one to drive to? If you do Google Maps, shortest route by car... Which is closer to Cape Town, Johannesburg or Durban? These are all difficult questions. You know, these are not supposed to be easy at all. All right. Okay. Right. Have you got an answer? You said how confident you are, and the answer is? No, it's not. I was amazed. It's because the road to Durban is really wiggly. I was amazed about that. Now you can check it. You can check it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Johannesburg is close. Yeah. 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 All right. Okay. Next one. Right. Who was older when they died? Michael Jackson or Osama bin Laden? Who was older when they died? I was going to do who died most recently, but I thought that was too easy. I thought that was a bit easy. Who was older when they died? Michael Jackson or Osama bin Laden? All right. Okay. Have you said how confident you are? Right. Okay. And the answer. Really, we don't know. I didn't know this. It's B. Osama bin Laden, he was 54. And Michael Jackson was 50. Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, another one. Are you ready? Okay. We go to judgment. Which is the greater population, Kenya or Tanzania? According to Wikipedia at the moment, which is the greater population, Kenya or Tanzania? You've got to A or B. And how confident are you? Okay. Yeah. Okay, and the answer is?
Kenya.
Everyone thinks Kenya. No, it's Tanzania. Yeah, I thought I yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Now, the point about these questions is you can ask these questions about absolutely anything. So I've just been looking around. I want to do another one. Okay, let's do one. Let's do another one. Who is taller? A. Yay. Or B. David. Who is taller? Sorry? Him from Berlin. Him? No, you can't stand. No, please stand up. Let's cheat. You've got to guess from them sitting down. David? Or yeah. I don't know. David. Put your hands up anyway. There, okay. Who is taller? No, just guess. Bay or B? And how confident are you? I don't know. Shh. No, fill it in. Guess. And then get your answer and say how confident you are. Are you absolutely certain? We're going to have to test this, aren't we? So I think. Okay. And the answer is, I don't know. David, can you come out? Okay, stand up. Come over, come out. I don't know. Is it B? He's got shoes on. I think it's B. Yeah. Oh.
But he's
no, he just he's got some shoes off. Shoes off. David's very close. It's so close. This is really. Can't shoes off. Shoes off. This is really close. No, come on. No, who's like this? There's a lot of money on David here. Everyone's betting on David. Oh, no, come on. No, it's David. B is the answer. That's right, you've done six questions. Have you scored yourself? Can you add up your points? This is not part of the assignment. You won't be tested on this. And I won't take in your points. This is just to illustrate an example. You add up your points. All right then. Who did really well? Did anyone get more than 100 points? No. Did anyone get? Oh, what did you get? Anyone get more than? Yeah, no, I'm sure people got minus. 120? Really? 125? That's fantastic. A real prize. So, okay, this is amazing. Anyone get more than 80? Oh, bro. More than 70? Yeah, more than 60? Yes, yeah, more than 50? Okay. Now, these people who are getting these points are actually quite, they're either very lucky or they actually sort of know things. Right, okay. Are there people who were quite cautious and stayed around here and got sort of near zero, low marks and things like that? Yes, yeah. There's a cautious person. Now, for people who do that, who stay around here, those are people who don't know things but actually know they don't know things, acknowledge things. Now, yeah, there is a third type of person, and now we're going to find out about them. Who got a really low mark? Who got any of you already get below minus 200? Or no? Anyone get minus? Do you get below minus 100? Anyone get below minus 100? No? Hey, Casey! Hey, David! Now, people got below minus 50? Oh, yes, quite a lot. Yes, yeah. Oh, no, that's not bad. Not bad on minus 50. And other people in between. Okay. Now, people who got really low marks, these are people who don't know anything but think they do. So, these are, you don't want to ask these people for advice. These are really dangerous people to have around. So, this is a genuine thing people use to, they use these types of quizzes to try to find out about these, you know, experts who think they know things and in fact don't, because they're overconfident. So what both yesterday's and today's is to try to, is to stop people being overconfident. So if they don't know, to admit you don't know. These are very easy quizzes to do. You can make them up. I do them with school children all the time. It's great, and adults and everybody, because they're really good and quite difficult. Okay, what's the function? What's the function for that number? Algebraic function for those numbers. This sequence. If you go down that sequence. What's the formula for that sequence? So you're going minus 75, minus 56. Anybody got it? Minus 11, 0, 9. Anybody got it? Yeah, there's some patterns in there if you add them up. Anybody see the pattern? What happens if you work backwards from that number? No. Oh, the difference is, yes, the difference is 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11. Very good. And so what's this? What happens if I take the differences from 25? See the pattern? Sorry? Yeah, it's the odd numbers between them. If I take the pairwise differences, this goes up as 2. So you could say that xi plus 1 minus xi is an odd number. But if you subtract each of these from 25, the squares, yay! Great, well done, it's the squares. If you take them from 25, you get 1, 4, 9, 16, 25, 36. Down to 100. It's the squares. It's the squares. So in fact, why this rule is called a squared error rule, squared error penalty. You lose the square of your mistake. That's why it's so horrible, right? It's really punishing. It loses the square of the error that you made. So it's a really nasty score. And the point is, this is a real scoring rule. People use this to judge weather forecasters. Anybody who's making probabilities, who's saying how confident they are, they use this score. It's called the Breyer scoring rule. It was invented by weather forecasters, by a man called Breyer. The Breyer score. And it's used to evaluate anybody who's giving probabilities to things, to see how good they are, how good their probability. Because that's what I was doing, is checking how good your probabilities were, your judgments. Right. I got one last one. I'll set this, and then we could then just sort of stop and go upstairs and carry on with the assignment. But I will set this partly because I don't know. Okay, this is one final one. Okay, here's another one. Okay. Ahem. Now, a king has three sons called A, B, and C. Those are very unimaginative names. I don't know. You know, Arnold. Anyway, A, B, and C. And he wants to give each son an equal chance of inheriting it. Inheriting. So he decides on this rule. He's going to flip a coin until the first time that you get either two heads or two tails in a row. So the first time there's two things in a row. If two heads comes up first after an even number of throws, in other words, the second head comes up on the second, fourth, or sixth one, then A will be king. If two tails comes up first after an even number of throws, then B will be king. Otherwise, C will be king. So whether it's two heads or two tails comes up after an odd number of throws, C will be king. Are they all equally likely to inherit, and why? What's the intuition? What's your intuition on this? What's your intuition about C's chances? That they're higher or lower than the others? Higher than the others. Yeah, maybe because he seems to have more ways, either it's heads or tails. So the intuition is not good here at all. All these problems today are ones where the intuition is bad. My intuition is terrible. I look at that and I have no idea of the answer. It's not like other mathematical problems where sometimes you can look at them and see, you know, some of the geometric ones, yes, you can see it. I can't see that at all. I have no intuition. So are they all equally likely to inherit? And shall I tell you, the answer is, yes, they are. These have got all equal, one-third chance of happening, of winning. Now, how do you prove it? How do you do that? And Tony Bearden set me that one. She does it for her teachers. You could test it amongst yourselves. Just try flipping a coin, and one in three times, these things will come up first. But how do you prove that? How do you prove it? I find that really difficult. I know how I did it. I convinced myself, but I don't know if it's the best way. This sort of infinite series could go on forever. It's like an infinite series of some kind. Or you could try. I drew a probability tree. So have a little think about how you might do that. Okay, can I just show what I think, what I tried? Should I just have a go? Well, I thought, if you look at, you know, throwing the first two throws, and you assumed at the beginning the probabilities were A, B, P, A, P, B, and B, C. If the first two flips are ahead, what happens? Head. No, A. Because on the second one, the second two heads on the second one, so A inherits. And if it goes two tails, B inherits. Each of these with a half. And if it's tail, head, tail, or tail, head, where are we back where we started? Well, maybe we continue. Head, tail, head, tail, and then it would be C, and then that would be on the third flip, C there, and otherwise we've done head, tail, head, tail. Oh, and then we're back. Oh, yeah, I'm trying to do it a bit like I did the previous one, which then I'm working out when we're back to where we started again, where we're. So we're on head, tail, head, tail. Well, then we're back to like that again, aren't we? Because each of these has gone tail, head. So then we could go head, tail. This is the fourth flip. So that could be B. Because the first thing to notice, there's something quite extraordinary here. And that would be A, yep. And then we could carry on there. You notice one thing, that if the first one is ahead, can B ever win? No, B can never get it. The first flip rules out B, and if it's a tail, it rules out A. It can never. Isn't that amazing? That if you, is that right? You know, you never. This will never turn into allow B to win. You see that? It sort of divides right from the beginning, from the first one. It divides into two groups. Yeah, I think, you know, a bit like I did the other coin, I'm trying to find where things are exactly the same, and it seems to me that the situation there is exactly the same as the situation there. So I'm trying to find a recursion, a sort of a recursive way. Yeah, and this will, because this will just carry on just like this. I think this is exactly the same point as here. Oh, I'm not sure. Do you ever get back to the beginning? I'm not sure. I think one, but at that point, A or B could win. But once we're down here, it's impossible for A to ever win. So I think it's more that is equal to that. I don't think you ever quite get back exactly to here. Yeah. So I think. Yeah, you can't never go back to the start. No, I think it's that and that. So I think that you have a P naught here, and then you've got a sort of P1, the probability if there's a tail, and a P head if the first one's a head. So, to be honest, well, how I think I would solve this is to say something like P naught is a half PH plus a half PT, and PH is a half 100, because A wins, plus a quarter chance of C winning, 0, 0, 1, plus a quarter chance of being back where you were. Does that look reasonable? You sort of treat this as a vector, and you've got that as a half that plus a half that, and this one is defined in terms of there. And I think you might get the answer. So I'm not being very good here, because I'm not quite clear of the best way to do this, whether this is the best way to do it. So, you know, I'm defining that in terms of, well, since these are the same, looking at that. Any other ideas? It's all, but conditional on getting here, the probability must stay sort of be the same as being here. Now, you're right that the actual probability of winning after six flips is much lower than the probability of winning after two. But we're sort of trying to add those up. As, you're right, yeah, you're adding up smaller terms all the time, a bit like that series we had before. Well, I think I shall leave that as an open problem. Hey, oh, we've got an idea.
Right.
Oh, that's brilliant. So it's up here, it's 2/3 chance of A and 1/3 chance of C. And down here, it's 2/3 chance of B and 1/3 chance of C. And when you average them, you get 1/3, 1/3. I think that's right. This is the same. Each of these is the same. Well, is it each the same? Yeah, once you're here, each of those is the same as the other one. And that, this is the half. So you've got a half chance of playing this game. Ah, that's it. You've got a half chance of A and C playing the game, but where they're racing for two things rather than one thing. And a half chance of B and C being the first one to get two of a kind. Oh, that's so clever. There you are. I think I'll do a round of applause for that one. Yeah. You do need to have done the previous problem. That's wonderful. That's okay. Right. Well, so we'll stop there. That's really good. So thank you all very much. We'll go up to the class. But first of all, can I just say? I mean, I know I said yesterday, gave my thanks very much for the lovely card. But I really want to say again that it's been an absolute pleasure and a privilege teaching you, and I have learnt so much. So that, and I want to come back and do this again. And I'm afraid you were the guinea pigs. So I hope for the next group, it'll be a bit better. So thank you very much indeed.